14 years ago today, Suzanne and I were counting down the days, the final 7 days, until we would welcome our second daughter into the world. Emily was about to get a sister. And as a 2-year-old, I don't think that she could fully appreciate how her life was going to change now that she was no longer going to be an only child. Now, at that point, we already had a name picked out. I don't think we had told anybody yet, but the decision had been made well before she was born. The name of our first child, Emily, had been my idea. But our second daughter's name, Allison, was from Suzanne. And as every parent has experienced, the naming of their child is a special, important, exciting, and sometimes difficult thing to figure out. I know that many first-time parents worry about getting this right. I mean, it's a big, permanent decision that we're making. So how do we decide what name to give our child? I mean, there are many, many variables for us to consider, so many factors to weigh, so many things to think through. How does the name sound? Does it flow well with our last name? And then what about the middle name? Does that still work? And what about nicknames? Are we going to be okay with the common abbreviated forms of this name? I mean, we may never use it, but you can be sure that others will. Who else has this name? Has someone close to us already claimed this name for their child? What associations will people make with this name? Is there a popular celebrity or politician, famous or infamous, who already has this name? Who else do we know with this name? My mom was a teacher before I was born, and I almost wasn't named Matthew because of a particular student in her school. What does the name mean? For some parents, this is really important. It really didn't matter much to me at all, although I will confess that I did check to make sure that our kids' names didn't mean something awful. How common or how unique is the name? I mean, this perhaps more than anything says more about us than about our child. Does the name that we choose suggest that we are traditionalists or trendsetters? Are we conservative, or do we have a bit of hippie in us? Are we tied into current trends, or do we have a love for the classics? There are so many things to consider when you're picking the name of a child. Now, we are in the season of Advent. This morning, Josh and Sarah and their kids, and Josh and Sarah, you guys did a great job naming your kids. That was good. You did a good job with the Advent, too, but you did a good job naming your kids. But they reminded us that this Sunday is the second Sunday of Advent, and they reminded us that the word Advent means coming, the coming of God into our world as a baby more special than any other, a baby named Jesus. And this morning, we're going to learn why this special baby, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, was given the name Jesus. And we're going to consider why his name and his birth should be as important to us today as it was to his parents all those many, many, many years ago. So if you've got a Bible with you, I want to invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, Matthew, the gospel writer, he begins his gospel with a genealogy that links Jesus through Joseph back to David, Israel's greatest king, and then back to Abraham, who is the father of the Jewish people. And it's from this starting point that Matthew tells the story of the most unusual baby that this world has ever known. And this birth story starts basically in verse 18. So let's look at verse 18. Here's what Matthew writes. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, already there is much for us to absorb and wonder about here. We meet Mary, who will be the mother of Jesus. She is a young Jewish woman. We would probably think of her as an adolescent, just a teenager. Certainly too young to be getting married, at least in our experience. But that was not the case for her in her time. And Mary is pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, this is something like our engagement, but actually more binding. The Jewish marriage process actually occurred in two stages. The first stage involved a public agreement to marry and the financial exchange of a bride price. And at this point, under Jewish law, this couple is now legally bound to each other, although they continue to live separately with their own families. And to end the relationship, even at this point, requires a formal divorce. The second stage followed about a year later with a marriage ceremony. And then the couple would then finally begin living together, sharing for the first time both a home and a bed. But Joseph learns that Mary's already pregnant, and he knows for certain that this child is not his. By all appearances, she has not been faithful to the vows that they have already made publicly to each other. And Joseph, a godly man, and doubtlessly heartbroken, makes plans to divorce her. And he had every right to do this publicly, to humiliate and to embarrass her, as he may have felt that she had done to him. But Joseph is a godly man and decides in his heart not to publicly shame her, choosing instead to divorce her quietly. But Mary has not been unfaithful to Joseph. She has not slept with another man, nor any man at all. Impossible as it may seem, she is still a virgin, though at the same time very much pregnant. Now, we know that this situation should be impossible, especially in Mary and Joseph's day. But this will not be the only unusual, unexplainable, wondrous circumstance around the birth of this child. This child that is growing and developing in Mary's abdomen is no ordinary child. He was conceived not through the intimate embrace with a man, but through a divine act by the very Spirit of God. The birth of this child, more than any other before or any since, was accomplished through the special intervention of God. Mary has not been unfaithful to Joseph. And since no reasonable person would ever believe her, God sends an angel to confirm for Joseph that Mary's seemingly impossible claim is in fact true. Look at verse 20. But after he, Joseph, had considered this, the divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Imagine what this must have been like for Joseph. According to what the angel has just told him, Mary has been faithful, and her child has been conceived through the Holy Spirit. And he was to follow through with their marriage and take her as his wife. And this child within her is unlike any other. He is one of a kind, uniquely special. And Joseph is to give him the name Jesus. Now at this point, Matthew, the gospel writer, he steps in to further impress upon us just how unusual, how special, how significant this child is. Look at verse 22. Matthew kind of jumps in and he says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So this birth is not just miraculous, it's also prophetic. The greater fulfillment of a promise made by the prophet Isaiah centuries earlier. A virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and he would be God with us. Whatever Joseph must have thought of all that he learned from both Mary and from the angel, he trusted God and Mary, and he took his pregnant betrothed to be his wife. And when this child of hers was born, Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up from the dream, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. So how does one go about deciding the name to give to their child? I mean, certainly every child is special to their parents and to God. But this child whose birth that we celebrate during the Advent season, he is especially special. This child is like no other. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born to a virgin, this is the God-man, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, fully human like you and me, and fully God like his divine Father in heaven. He is the eternal Son who took on mortal flesh. How does one name a child like this? What name could possibly be enough for this child? I mean, where does one even begin in trying to figure this out? But of course, Mary and Joseph did not have to decide. The choice had been made for them. The child's true father had selected his name. His name was to be, is Jesus. But of course, you already knew that. In fact, I think we'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in the Western world who doesn't know the name of the child whose birth it is that we celebrate here at Christmas. But what might not be quite as familiar to you is the significance of the name that the eternal Father chose for his incarnate Son. And so Matthew points us to something important about Jesus' name there in verse 21. Because there the angel tells Joseph to name the child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now Jesus is the Greek form of the Old Testament name Joshua. And it's a name that means Yahweh saves. Yahweh being the personal name of God. And so the name Jesus basically means Yahweh, the God of the Jews, saves. Now this saving can refer to deliverance from any numerous kinds of troubles or afflictions. And in fact, the most famous Old Testament Joshua very much lived up to his name. This Joshua was the protege of Moses, and he was the one who led the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land after their slavery in Egypt and their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And through Joshua's leadership, Yahweh saved the Israelites from all their enemies, and he established them in the land that he had been promised to Abraham. But the angel tells Joseph that when it comes to the naming of this child, God has a very specific kind of saving in mind, a delivering of people from their sins. And it is in this special kind of saving that we see that this especially special child lies at the heart of God's plan. God's great, unstoppable plan to rescue and to redeem a people for himself. This is the story, this is the plan that ties the entire Bible together. See, God created a good world. And he created human beings, men and women, in his image to be his representatives and his co-regents in this world. But the first of us, and every one of us since, have failed to trust in God's goodness, believing that we know better than him how to best live our lives. And that was the first sin. And it is the lie that lives at the heart of every sin. It is the sin that broke the world. It is the sin that enslaves us all. It is the sin that separates us from God. It is the sin that destines us for hell. It is the sin from which we need to be rescued. It is the sin that Jesus was born to save us from. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But this, I think, is not the only significance of Jesus' name. For as especially special as this child was, the name that he was given was remarkably common. The name Jesus was one of the most common Jewish names in the first century. Now, if we hear today of somebody named Jesus, we take note of that. But that was not the case when Jesus was born. Jesus in the first century is the equivalent of James or John or Robert in our century. And this, too, I think, is wonderfully significant and fitting for this child who was born to Mary. For though he was and is fully divine like his Father in heaven, he was and is also fully human just like you and me. See, he is our God who understands what it's like to be human. And his name points us to both. He is simultaneously uniquely divine and ordinarily human. I mean, who better could save us? You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. One more bit of significance to the naming of Jesus. It matters that it was Joseph who named him. Yes, God told Joseph through the angelic messenger what to name this child. But at the child's birth, it was Joseph who told the world what name to call this baby. His name is Jesus. Yahweh saves. See, in being the one to declare to the world the name of this child, Joseph, in his culture, was claiming this child as his own. Though he was not the one who had conceived this child with Mary, and it's likely that many people around them knew this, he had taken Mary as his wife, and this child was to be counted as his. And this is significant, because it is through Joseph's ancestry that Jesus is counted as the descendant of King David. King David, to whom God had promised 1,000 years earlier that a descendant of his would sit on the throne of an everlasting kingdom. This child, this remarkable child, was born to sit on that throne. Because this is Jesus, our true rescuer king, who will save his people from their sins. So as we are in the Advent season, what do you think when you hear the name Jesus? Do you think of an especially special child conceived by the divine power of God Almighty? Or of a fully human baby boy given a remarkably common name? Someone who in many ways is just like you. My hope is that during this Advent season, you will think of both. Because that's exactly the kind of child that this world needs most. The eternal Son who took on ordinary human flesh so that He, Yahweh Himself, could save us from our sins. Let me pray. Father, we worship and thank you and praise you for sending your Son to save us from our sins. Jesus, we bow before you as our true rescuer King, recognizing our need for you and pledging our allegiance to you. Holy Spirit, renew our hearts once again with the wonder of the Advent season, that we would worship and celebrate the goodness of our God and the joy of our salvation. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand with me for the blessing, and then you will be dismissed, we'll be done. An Advent blessing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And you have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And because you have received Him, because you have believed in Him, you have become the children of God. Amen. Thank you for joining us as we gathered for worship this morning.